It is time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. Get that old bell ringing correctly. There it goes. When you hear that bell, you know to pull up a chair, grab your Bible, turn up the radio, and become a student in this class. We're looking at the series of lessons on the early kings and prophets of Israel from Samuel to Isaiah. And we're going to be looking at a Sunday school lesson today that E.A. Elam prepared for the Sunday schools of July the 10th, 1927, about Samuel's farewell. And how he said farewell at Gilgal. We'll begin talking a little about Gilgal, and then we'll get on into the lesson. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Our teacher is E.A. Elam, coming to us by the Sunday school lessons he wrote for the Sunday school so long ago. If you want to know what your parents, probably, or maybe we should say your grandparents studied in Sunday school, maybe even your great-grandparents, well, these are the kind of lessons they studied. They're very Bible-focused lessons, and that's what we need. We really need more preachers. They will stand up and teach us what the Bible says, not so much telling us what they think, don't we? And I think if I heard a preacher and knew of one that was teaching what the Bible taught, and that was his emphasis, well, that's where I would want to go to worship. Part of the way we glorify God is by glorifying His Word. And we do that when we set ourselves aside and set what He teaches up front. Now let's look at this Sunday school lesson about Samuel's farewell. They made this speech. Samuel said farewell to the children of Israel at Gilgal. This is where the children of Israel first camped when they crossed over the Jordan River under Joshua. It says, from that time Gilgal was an important place in the history of the Jewish nation. There the manna ceased. There was observed the first Passover in the Promised Land. There was set up the 12 stones as a memorial of the parting of the Jordan waters. There the Israelites encamped, and the women, children, and baggage were left during the Canaanitish War. There the ark was kept until it was removed to Shiloh. There Saul was proclaimed king. And there Saul, in a rebellion, would offer a sacrifice to God when God commanded him to do an entirely different thing. There Agag, the king of the Amalekites, was slain. And there the men of Judah went to meet David on his return to Jerusalem after the death of Absalom. There are some helps and hints for the teacher in this lesson. It says the teacher should be ready to relate the facts of Samuel's life from his birth up to this lesson. After the victory at Jabesh-Gilead, Samuel called all the people to Gilgal to renew the kingdom there. Saul had demonstrated his ability and had showed himself worthy, and Samuel saw that it was a fit time to confirm him as king. This was like the inauguration of a president or the crowning of a king now. There they offered sacrifices of peace offerings before Jehovah. And there Saul and all the men of Israel rejoiced greatly. 1 Samuel 11 in verse 15. At this time, it seems, and at Gilgal, Samuel made the speech of this lesson. Let me read to you 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. It says, Samuel said, in fact, I'm going to go ahead and read verses 1 through 5. It says, Samuel said unto all of Israel, Behold, I've hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. And now, behold, the king walketh before you, and I'm old and gray-headed. And behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my youth unto this day. Here I am. Witness against me before Jehovah and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? And whose ass have I taken? And whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or whose hands have I taken a ransom to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you. And they said, Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand. And he said unto them, Jehovah is witness against you, and his anointed is witness this day, that ye have not found aught in mine hand. And they said, He is witness. Looking at Elam's notes, we read, Samuel first reminded the people of the fact that he had hearkened unto them in making them a king, and that the king was before them to lead and to judge them. Here Samuel resigned his office as judge. He said, I'm old and gray-headed, and behold, my sons are with you, and I have walked before you from my youth unto this day. It is inferred from this reference to his sons that Samuel had removed them from an office on account of their wickedness. Samuel then called on the people to witness before Jehovah and the king that he had not taken an ox or an ass from them and had received no bribe and had never defrauded or oppressed them in any way. And they replied that such was the case, and both he and they called upon God to witness their statements. No man was oppressed under his government. No man was defrauded. He'd accumulated no riches for himself. He'd procured none for his friends. Nor had one needy dependent been provided for out of the public purse. He might have pardoned his own sons who had acted improperly before he quitted the government. But though he was a most tender of parents, he would not but abandon them to national justice, with only one tax solicitation of mercy. Behold, my sons are with you. Now let me read to you from 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 6 through 18. Samuel said unto the people, It is Jehovah that appointed Moses and Aaron, and that brought your fathers up out of the land of Egypt. Now therefore stand still, that I may plead with you before Jehovah concerning the righteous acts of Jehovah, which he did to you and to your fathers when Jacob was come into Egypt, and your fathers cried unto Jehovah. Then Jehovah sent Moses and Aaron, who brought forth your fathers out of Egypt, and made them to dwell in this place. But they forgot Jehovah their God, and he sold them into the hand of Sisera, captain of the host of Hazor, into the hand of the Philistines, and into the hand of the king of Moab. And they fought against them. And they cried unto Jehovah, and said, We have sinned, because we have forsaken Jehovah, and have served the Baalim and the Ashtaroth. But now deliver us out of the hand of our enemies, and we will serve thee. And Jehovah sent Zerubbabel, and Bedan, and Jephthah, and Samuel, and delivered you out of the hands of your enemies on every side, and ye dwelt in safety. And when ye saw that Nahash, king of the children of Ammon, came against you, you said unto me, Nay, but a king shall reign over us, when Jehovah your God was your king. Now therefore, behold, the king whom ye have chosen, and whom ye have asked for, behold, Jehovah hath set a king over you. If ye will fear Jehovah, and serve him, and hearken unto his voice, and not rebel against the commandment of Jehovah, and both ye and also the king that reigneth over you be followers of Jehovah your God, well, but if ye will not hearken unto the voice of Jehovah, but rebel against the commandment of Jehovah, then will the hand of Jehovah be against you as it was against your fathers. Now therefore stand still, and see this great thing which Jehovah will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call upon Jehovah that he may send thunder and rain, and ye shall know and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of Jehovah in asking for a king. So Samuel called unto Jehovah. And Jehovah sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared Jehovah and Samuel. In the intervening verses, Samuel recounted what God had done for them and showed them how faithful God had been. He again arraigned them before God for rejecting him and asking for a king. When their fathers in cruel Egyptian bondage cried unto Jehovah, he had heard them and sent Moses and Aaron and brought them out to dwell in the land of promise. When they forgot God, served the Balaam and Ashtaroth, and were overrun and oppressed by Sisera, by the Moabites, then in pretense, in penitence, they cried unto Jehovah, and he sent them Zerubbabel, that is, Gideon, and Bedin, that would be Barak, Jephthah, and Samuel, to deliver them out of the hand of their enemies on every side, and cause them to dwell in safety. But notwithstanding all this, when they saw that Nahash, the king of the Amorites, came against them, they said, "Nay, but a king shall reign over us," when God was their king. Remember the many times Samuel reminded them of this declaration of their sin? He solemnly impressed upon them on every occasion that they had rejected God. Should not faithful preachers now solemnly and constantly remind people of the fact that to turn away from God's blood-sealed commandments and order of things is to reject him? Because of God's faithfulness and of all that he had done, these Israelites owed it to him to trust in him as king and in his government and means as all-sufficient. Many now do not trust God's gospel, his church, his means, and his ways as all-sufficient. Since the people would have a king, even to the rejection of God, Samuel said, "Now therefore behold the king whom ye have chosen and whom ye have asked for, and behold, Jehovah hath set a king over you." The king had been selected and anointed, and the kingdom had been confirmed. Although they had sinned in asking for a king, God promised upon their faithful obedience to him in the future to overrule the kingdom to their good, even when it resulted in their chastisement. But if they should not obey God and should rebel against his commandments, his hand would be against them as it had been against their fathers. God confirmed that which Samuel had said, and the great sin of the people, by the miracle of sending rain and thunder during wheat harvest on a clear and serene day. Now back to 1 Samuel chapter 12, verses 19 through 22. All the people said unto Samuel, "Pray for thy servants unto Jehovah thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king." And Samuel said to the people, "Fear not, ye have indeed done all this evil, yet turn not aside from following Jehovah, but serve Jehovah with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then would you go after vain things which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For Jehovah will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased Jehovah to make you a people unto himself." Realizing now their sin and asking for a king, together with their other sins and the power and presence of God, they feared his righteousness and his justice and requested Samuel to pray for them. They had been brought also to confession of their sin, asking for a king and all of their sins. It says, "We have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king." Is it not strange that they did not now attempt to repair their fault? They might have done it, but they did not. They acknowledged their sin, but they did not put it away. This is the general way of mankind. "God help us, we're all sinners," is the general language of the people. But though to be a sinner is the most solemn and awful circumstance, yet they bear the character of heedless of the consequences. We'll return to this in our next class.